Well, let's turn to Psalms 2. And I don't know how far we're going to get. I just hope it all makes sense to you. I've been studying about last few lessons, I don't know, four or five, heirs, heritage, and inheritance. We've covered a number of inheritances in the scriptures. We haven't gotten to ours yet. That's the last in line. And so I'm gonna go back and look over what we looked at. I'm going to make some statements, read some scriptures, get into some Greek, hopefully. And you know, if it doesn't, if this series doesn't end today, well, it'll keep on going. I guess, I don't know. You know, that's how the Word of God is. Okay, Psalms 2, and you know, we're dealing with inheritances, right? Hey, praise the Lord, we know the difference. I mean, seriously, it's awesome, if you want it to be. Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. And so, mankind, no matter what his power, wealth, they never escape the Lord. Pharaoh, God on earth, as far as mankind was concerned, he could never escape the judgments of Almighty God. So, how does anybody that lives today expect that? Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten. Awesome, you know. And, you know, I'm going to just say this to you. Well, you know, I don't know what you experience every day, but the Lord is telling me, hey, get into my word and think my words. Don't think the words of the world. Hey, you're mine. Think my words. Don't be tempted into thinking like the world thinks. And so just in these few verses, we can know that Almighty God deals with powerful men. Almighty God can vex them. And his sore displeasure, we don't have to worry about them. And yet then he talks about his son being king. Interesting. Okay, so, hey, walk around with this in our minds. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Okay, remember we talked about the inheritances of the Son of God of Christ. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. This might be looking at the millennial kingdom. And thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, actually, with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And I would say that for me these days, putting my trust in him is very important for me to live every minute of every day. But we see here that no matter what mankind or what the evil one is devising at the present time, that the Lord will be king of this earth and set up his own kingdom. And so, again, I will say this, we don't have to worry about if this world is going to break apart from nuclear destruction, all these other things that mankind has done. Because the only begotten Son of God is going to come here again and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And so that's very important. Now, let's get back to our study. So far in this series, we've actually covered a lot of great subjects. Not that I said that, but they're great subjects of the Holy Scriptures. It doesn't matter who talks about the Word of God and and speaks of the Word of God, if it's great, they're not great. The Word of God is great. None of us invented any of this word, so how can we think we're great? You know, so the subjects that men and women write and talk about are great. They're not great. The subjects are great. And so far we've went across a lot of great subjects that any and all of us with prayerful joy can pursue and expand on, all of these subjects we went over. And our spiritual growth and understanding will then come to grips with Almighty God's plan for the ages and beyond. Okay, so what is God doing today? Well, he's fulfilling part of his plan. Why has Israel been in the Loami period for almost 2,000 years now? Because God is fulfilling part of his great plan of redemption. That's why. And so, no matter what we see with our eyeballs, we know that as we understand callings and inheritances and times and seasons of Israel and Loami periods, we understand how God is working out his plan. And that is awesome if we can say that we know that in any form. We've looked at the only begotten Son of God and the multiple positions and peoples that he is heir to. His multiple inheritances, we've looked at those in the books of Hebrews and Luke and others. We looked at Abraham, called to the promises of God through faith, and that these promises were not of the law, which was written 430 years later, and that these promises by faith included the Gentiles. And so you are supposed to thoroughly study the book of Galatians and know it. And you are supposed to at least study Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 and thoroughly know them and their place in the plan of God. That is one of your assignments. Let's turn to Galatians 3, 6 through 18, just as a look back at Abraham and the law. And, you know, then we spoke about Abraham's inheritance and that it was the New Jerusalem. And so that's different than the inheritance that Israel was given, correct? And so if we look at Galatians 3, 6 through 18, we read, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith," that's the Gentiles, "preached before the good message unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, which was given to Moses 430 years after the promises were given to Abraham. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles and believing Jews," I'll add, "through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." We went over that. "And Christ came through the nation of Israel." We went over that. through Mary and through Joseph. But he came to fulfill the law. And so there is a great lesson to be had there that we should know. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after the promises made to Abraham, cannot annul that it should make the promises of Abraham of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so there are inheritances or an inheritance given to Abraham by promise of faith. And we looked over that. We understand that Abraham and others of faith during the book of Acts and some before have the heavenly Jerusalem as their inheritance, and you should thoroughly study the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11. You should know the book of Hebrews, and especially chapter 11. That's your assignment. We looked at the nation of Israel, the chosen nation of God in the flesh, and how they failed to realize their inheritance of the chosen Lamb. We looked at that. You should thoroughly study Numbers chapters 13, 14, 26, 27, and 28. You should thoroughly know those chapters. That's your assignment. And Jeremiah chapters 30 and 31. Let's turn to Jeremiah 31. And we'll find that that is going to be the fulfillment in the millennium, I believe, of the inheritance of Israel, which they failed to realize. You should understand the book of Acts. You should understand how God was working during the book of Acts. You should have a firm foundation in the book of Acts, and you should understand what happened at the end of the book of Acts and why. That is your assignment. That's our assignment, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just saying that I'm saying this. Who am I to say this to you? But hey, you know, you can smile and just go with it. That is your assignment. Jeremiah 31 through 34. This is going to be the fulfillment of the failure of Israel, right? That's really important, isn't it? It's really, really important to understand the inheritances of God and what he's doing. Now, if what I'm saying is correct, and we can say, oh, yeah, I understand the inheritance of Israel and that they never realized it. Oh, yeah, I understand that there's an inheritance during the book of Acts and that it's not concerned with the law. Yeah, I know that. I know what the book of Acts is all about, and I know that the Holy Spirit was working through the apostles and chosen ones to bring salvation to the nation of Israel through faith in the blood of Christ. I know that, but they rejected him eventually, and they rejected all the workers that God sent for at least 35 years. I understand that. And then at the end of the book of Acts, God sent his salvation out into the world, and it didn't matter if it was Jew or Gentile. I understand that too. Well, do you know how excellent that is? Guys, how excellent of a gift that is? I mean, really. I'm going to say it. Who are we dealing with? I'll say this every time I speak, because I gotta sit back and I gotta say this to myself. What have I been given? What am I doing with it? How am I living it? How am I living it? Who am I? What am I in him? Is this for real? You know, I mean, you think about all these things and Almighty God, I gotta say it every time. Who is he? Who are we? What is he giving us? What are we doing with it? How do we receive it? Can you believe it? You know? Jeremiah 31 through 34. I know I probably say that all the time. You're probably like, what's with this guy? Can't he move on from there? No. I don't think I'll ever move on from that thought. Jeremiah 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which was my covenant. They broke the law, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, when I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Did this happen? Yet. Will it happen? Yes. When? And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord? Do they know the Lord today? For they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. I believe that this points to the millennial kingdom, the second advent of Christ, which Israel will be raised in a day, and then the Lord will work with them as a holy nation, as a blessing to the world, where they should have been all along. So, we understand the fulfillment of the inheritance of Israel in the land, pointing to the millennial kingdom. These things you should know already, and after that you should thoroughly study the book of the knowledge about it. Especially Acts 28 and afterwards, because we're in a period of time called the dispensation of the mystery in which Israel is in Lo Ammi. How do we understand today? Israel is in Lo Ammi. Was the last 2,000 years ever in prophecy? If at all, not in a very, very, very big way. Not at all. Smatterings maybe with the coming up of the 68th and 69th week of years out of Daniel. That might happen in our lifetime. Other than that, we live in a period of time in which Israel was Lo Ammi, and it was never prophesied about, so it was never to be known. That is incredible. And for me, the evil one and my own flesh takes me away from the beauty and the power of that. Because I get messed up in things of the world, not necessarily that bad, but then my brain doesn't realize that, hey man, you know the period of time in it you're in and why. I mean, wow. what are the words? We looked at the fact that the nation of Israel will be raised at and be God's chosen people in the land for 1,000 years. That is the millennial kingdom, and that is their inheritance of the land. Now, as for us, chosen out by God for his particular purpose in the dispensation of the mystery, what is our name? I thought about this. Let's see. What is our name? Who do we call ourselves? Oh, yeah? What's with you, Mike? Well, are we the Church of the Mystery? Are we the Church of which Christ is head? Are we the assembly which Christ is head of, and that is his body and his fullness? I particularly like that one. But it's interesting, the names that are in scriptures that apply to us. You know, and, some people don't like the word church. Well, called out assembly might be better. Called out chosen ones predestined to their calling might be great. And so our name might be a couple of lines, you know. You know what I mean? predestined before the overthrow of the world, called out to be the fullness of it. You know, those are all things that apply to us. And by the way, what is our inheritance? Well, if we get to it, we're going to look at some Greek words. But before that, we should have a full knowledge of how our inheritance compares with others. What are the similarities? And what are the differences? I'll state right now a bit about what I have learned. Maybe you know more. That's great. Write it down. Send it to me. Write it down. Send it to Ronnie. People, great knowledge. Put it in there. Write it out. Make a tape. Anything. I'll listen and read it. Similarities. The blood of Christ, the only begotten Son. Without the blood of Christ, would we have a calling? No. The requirements of a holy God, like atonement, reconciliation, sanctification, these things, these requirements of a holy God, do they apply to us? Yes. Do they apply to other people of other inheritances? Yes. We are saved by grace and not by the law. Does that apply to us? Yes. Does that apply to Abraham? Yes. Does that apply to those who inherit what Abraham inherits? Yes. All inheritance come forth through the will of the Father. Is that a similarity? Yes. Is Israel's inheritance coming forth by the will of the Father? Yes. Is all inheritance that comes through faith the will of the Father? Yes. Is our inheritance through the will of the Father? You better believe it. Probably more than any other calling or inheritance. I'll say this again and again and again. We are closer to the Father than any other inheritance in the Word of God. We are. That's what Ephesians and Colossians are all about. It just blasts forth out of there. It blasts forth out of there. His desire, His heart's desire. That is part of our inheritance. What are the differences? Well, our calling is that we were predestined in the mind of God before the overthrow of the world and not since. This is said many times. Do we realize how important it is? You know, we're talking about the complete scriptures here. Do we know how important that one fact is? Our calling and inheritance is not found in scriptures of the Old Testament or the prophets, because it's a period of time that was hidden in God. A time of the mystery. Are we aware of how important that is? Are we aware of the period of time that we're living in and why that is? This is why you're being attacked, folks. Our calling and inheritance was held completely secret in the mind of the Godhead before revealed, where Jew and Gentile are a oneness, being built into a spiritual temple for the habitation of God. Well, that's written in Ephesians. Do we understand? Do we understand the magnitude of that? I do not understand the magnitude of that, but I believe it. Our witness and our ministry as being different is to spiritual principalities and powers in the above heavens. I don't look at any other calling that we're witnesses to principalities and powers that are not fallen in the super heavenlies, do you? We are called lastly in the plan of God, but we realize our inheritance first. The last shall be first. Hey, that's a little tidbit of some really awesome knowledge. I like that. All right, so now just some Greek words. I might have a, you know, I might have 25 minutes or so if you guys want to stick around. Maybe I can wrap this up. Now to some Greek words. Well, I looked up some Greek words that had to do with our inheritance. Inheritance, let's say. All right? And so here's some of them. And I will try to speak them forth. And I'm no expert in the Greek whatsoever. I could learn about the Greek for the rest of my life. There's no doubt about it. I took a year and a half of Greek from a professor, maybe 2.5 years. So what? I mean, I forgot more than I learned. There's no doubt about it. You got to stick with it every day. And I'm going to say this to you. This is what came to my mind. Any of you out there, are you good at something? What's with this guy? How can he say that to me? Are any of you, do you have a skill at something? Even being a mother, are you good at it? Well, did you learn that overnight? Engineer out there, did you learn that all the night? Did you learn to cut hair overnight? You know, whatever you do out there, writing about the scriptures, did you learn to do that overnight? And so, yep, that's a good one, Tony. Did you learn to do that overnight? Yeah, right. Well, hopefully, I'm glad I wasn't your first patient there. Yeah, so all of us have skills, good skills in something. Did we learn it overnight? No. Were you afraid of your skill that you got into? Apparently not, if you're good at it. So you started in it and you took your lumps and bumps. Well, that's what the Greek is like too. And so when you start, don't be afraid of it. Get into it. You're going to take lumps and bumps and then eventually you'll get better and better at it like you are with your skill. And so, just like with your skill, how do you expect to be good at what you're good at if you quit way back when? And so that was a little bit of a just a thing that I wanted to say. Well, Greek words that have to do with calling or with inheritance are kleros, kleronomos, kleronomai, kleronomia. All right, and we're going to look at a few of those right now and try to understand and unfold what our inheritance is. Well, you know, all of you actually probably know already what our inheritance is. But, you know, let's just speak this forth. By the way, you know, you notice that kleros, kleronomos, kleronomia, they all have kind of a root, klera. At the beginning of it. Well, what was interesting that I found is that the word calling, man, where did it go? The word calling is the word klesis. And the reason I mentioned that, I don't know if I'll get to that, but calling is closely associated in the Greek with inheritance. Okay, you say, well, that isn't surprising, but, you know, it's kind of, when I saw that, and this this Greek word klesis is found in Ephesians, Philippians, Ephesians 1, Philippians 3, and Ephesians 4, and you can study that out, but what's excellent about that is that the word calling reinforces the word inheritance. So, let's move on from here. So, looking at Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Just going to put forth some thoughts. Han says you can agree or disagree. Every time he says that, I got a smile. You can agree or disagree. I don't know why I smile. I don't know why I laugh at that. I just do. You can agree or disagree. Well, you know, hey, Ron, we'd like to agree with you, you know. Agree or disagree. Okay, well, you can agree with some of my thoughts or disagree. That's your prerogative, right? Okay, so let's look at Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I'll just mention some words. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, of the Father's will, listen to this, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen to that. Wham! That should smack you in the face. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That should be us every day. We're being attacked, folks, to take us away from that. I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. Patience and long-suffering. Do I like that? No. Do I have to deal with it? Yeah. I have to deal with it. Do I like it? No. I like things comfy cozy. I like things to be worked out nice and smooth. Is it a rocky road? Yeah. Do I like it? No. Giving thanks unto the Father, here's the Father again, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the holies in the light. Okay, the word hagion, which is what saints here is translated from, can be translated saints, it can be translated holies. King James Version people that translated saints probably didn't know the mystery. Them translating the word hagion by the word saints takes away greatly from what the Holy Spirit means here, I believe. That's my opinion. Because our inheritance isn't in the saints, it's in the holies. And that's backed up by truth. In the light, in light, in the light, all right, in the light. The word inheritance here is interesting because it is not, let's just say, the common word that we find for the word inheritance, but it is the basic word called kleros, and basically a portion of land, or a portion of God determined by lot. By lot, by lot, by lot, L-O-T, 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 by lot. And I spoke before that this is not Almighty God rolling dice in the heavens. That is a ridiculous statement. The fact of lot is a holy thing. The fact of Almighty God, Almighty God bringing people to himself by lot is a holy thing. It has nothing to do with gambling or throwing of dice or anything. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so by lot, by the Father, we are given, we are made fit to inherit our lot in the holies. We have a lot in the holies from the Father in the light. Okay, so is there anything glorious about that verse? Well, yeah, in the light. Where is that light? Well, if that's the light associated with the holies and it's in the super heavenlies, well, yeah, there's something about that light. Let's just turn to Revelation really quick. Revelation 21, 21 through 25. Just a point. Just a point. Okay, so far, what Mike thinks is that we have a lot, our inheritance is a lot associated with the holies in the super heavenlies in the light. Is that possible? Yeah, because why? Almighty God makes it possible. It's part of our calling. If we look at Revelation 21, 21 through 25, we find, and 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Certainly not of the like the world today. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb of God is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it. of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Well, folks, the Lord God and Almighty and the Lamb of God are going to be the light of the heavenly Jerusalem. But our inheritance is in the light. Our lot in the heavenlies is in the light. Is there a difference? Well, Mike says you better believe there is a difference. And so, that's something that I say, I believe, and you can look into that. So, if we turn to Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. And so, I don't know. Yeah, okay. Maybe 15 minutes more and then we'll wrap this up. I hope this is edifying to you. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. In Ephesians 1, we have a form of the Greek word for inheritance that is kleronomia. Kleronomia. And it is the Greek word, kleronomai. And it's a word that means that it's an inheritance, but it's in what's called the passive voice. Okay, so does this really have any meaning? You bet it does. You know, the Greek has active, middle, and passive voices to it. That's what the Holy Spirit chose to use. Does the passive voice of the Greek word here for inheritance have a meaning and an importance? You better believe it does. Eklerothemen. And what this is that it's in the first person plural, which means that it is our calling, but it's in the passive voice, which means that the one that produces this inheritance is the one that receives the action of this inheritance. So what does all that mean? Is the statement that I made true? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I can say I'll stand on it with my life. Yes, it is. It's true. And what does this mean? This means this. This means that we have an inheritance in the holies, in the light. Not only that, but the action of the producing of that inheritance falls back on the subject, which is, our dear, what's the point? The point, I believe, the Greek is making is that we have an inheritance, but we are also the Father's inheritance, according to Ephesians 1:11. We have an inheritance, but we are the Father's inheritance in the super heavenlies. Do we have an idea, a minuscule pinpoint of an idea of what that really means or is? No. Do we believe it as truth through faith? That's what we're asked to do. Ephesians 1, 12 through 14, we'll read that. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also we also trusted after you heard the word of faith, the good message of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Awesome. Awesome. We're sealed. Can we lose our sealing by God the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Doesn't matter. It goes back to what Ronnie was talking about. Romans 8, death nor life, principalities, our powers, whatever we face, can we lose anything we're given? No, absolutely not. We're sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Who is God? God the Holy Spirit. If God seals us, can we be unsealed? No way, no how. Don't let anybody ever convince you or talk to you about that whatsoever. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. Okay, this inheritance is the two Greek forms, kleivanomios, hemon, and hemon means our, hemon. Kleivanomios, hemon, are an inheritance given to us as a possession. So in verse 11, we saw that we have an inheritance, but we are the Father's inheritance. We go on a few verses later, realizing that we were sealed by God the Holy Spirit, and we are given the earnest of an inheritance that is our possession, and that we are going to be revealed as the Father's purchased possession, and this is done in Christ eternally in the super heaven. Do we have an idea? Do we have an idea, even a pinhead, even a smattering of what this really is and what this really means? No, I don't. How can we? But we are asked to live it and to believe it by faith. What a mystery. What a revealed mystery that we have been given. Really. You know, I know that we're going to walk. I'm going to walk out of here tomorrow and go to work and start working on human beings. And a lot of these things are going to run out of my brain, and I'll be thinking about other things. Nevertheless, what I do at work is not who I really am. Yep, I do it at work to make money, to provide for my family, myself, all the really nice bills, the IRS, baby, to give the IRS their dues, and to make sufficient my life so that, as the Lord wants, non-believers are infidels are ones that don't work for their way. We are not infidels. And so we have to work with our hands, doing good things to make money. Do I like it? No. Is it required? Yes. Actually, it's required by God as we live. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. Maybe I'll end with this. And there's more. You know, there's more. This can go on. But, you know, I suppose I'll end this series with this. Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. Just to make a point, I hope that, again, this is edifying. Our inheritance is so different than other callings. Our inheritance is of a secret of God hidden from mankind, from the prophets. And possibly it was a real smack in the face to the evil one when revealed. And that's another story, or that's another fact. That's why he hates us so much. I'll say that. Wherefore, in Ephesians 1:15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, that's the correct rendering of the word hagion, by the way, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that glory, there is the Father again, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is this one that the Apostle Paul prays that we are given wisdom and revelation in the knowledge or acknowledgement of him? What do we do with these words, folks? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his klesis, of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance his klesus autu in the holies. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance It's in the holies. And so we are his inheritance. We are given a lot in the light. And if we study en tois epiraneois, or en tois epiraneois, which is five occurrences of in the heavenlies, in the upon the heavenlies, in the super heavenlies, in the heavens above all heavens, outside of the universe, outside of the ice, as Ron says, which I particularly think he's correct, this is where our inheritance is. Do we have a pinhead of an understanding of what it is, what it looks like? No. But we're supposed to walk in it, believe it, understand that we've been given it, and praise the Lord in it and have joy in it. And this is all done by faith, folks. We cannot produce joy in the Lord by thinking about it in a human brain. That's why if you're not into the Word of God and have spiritual understanding, like a lot of folks in the world, could I say that they choose this? Possibly. You know, do we choose to dig into the Lord, into the Word of God? We seek Him? Well, Hebrews says that if we do, He's going to reward us. If we don't, He won't reward us. How is He going to reward us? With gold and riches? With a Ferrari? No, he's gonna reward us with spiritual understanding that makes such things look like refuse. That, you know, the delight, trust in the Lord and He shall give you the delights of your heart. Well, you know, that's not a human thing. That's not a thing of material. When you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you delights, the delight of your heart, because your heart will be in Him. And so He's going to delight you with things of Himself, not of things of your old man. I have that in front of me. I've had that verse in front of me for 34 years at my desk. And it was only a couple of years ago that I realized the truth of it. He's going to give me the delights of my heart because I think about Him. And therefore, He's going to give me more of Him. And there's no better, you know. Do I fail at that? You better believe it. Do I hurt because of it? You better believe it. And so, I don't mind saying that. Again, I really don't. I don't mind saying that. Because if any of you are like me, maybe you can say, hey, there's somebody else like me, and he's saying, he's saying that the Lord will get me on track if I pray for it. The Lord will help me. And He will, no matter what. We are called out of the mind of the Godhead from the highest heaven to witness to heavenly spiritual beings of the manifold wisdom of God in the highest heaven, our inheritance being in the highest heavens, in the Son of the Father's love. Amen. And I hope that this helped. You can carry this on, folks, for a long way. And so I guess I'm going to wrap up the series with that, and I hope that, you can go with it, you can run with it. I hope you do, and I hope I laid some sort of foundation. And I thank you for being here. Sorry we can't see you. Sometimes I think I'm not fit to see people at the present time. But, I know that I do know there are people of my calling out there that love the Lord as I do. And I'm super thankful for that. And thank you for being here. I know pretty much all of you, and I'm thankful for that. And so we need prayer. We'll pray for you no matter what you're facing, and that we lean unto the Lord. I mean, right now I'm in the Psalms. You're welcome. Right now I'm in the Psalms. King David went through a lot of things. I find comfort in the way that he approached God going through things. You might find comfort there. Thanks a lot, you folks.